Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we do get to Sal Capaccio, are you ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter an online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win 300 tailgate trace certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans each Friday. A winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shrimp and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Now, we head to the Western Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, the Bills get back to work today, but first off, sorry about the Yankees, bud. Sorry.
Hey, good talking to you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, I didn't even do it. Zach did it. So
I was actually just leaving the house and thinking about am I going to get some alert today that, you know, Aaron Boone's been fired? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think so, right? I mean, like, this has been many years, and I'm not saying, oh, my God, go fire him. I'm not generally like that. I get it. Like, if they do, I'm totally fine with it. But I was just wondering that today. It was a tough one. Listen, I'm disappointed. I'm upset. But, man, like, when you lose to a better team, and they were just a machine. The Blue Jays were just a machine hitting the ball. It's unbelievable. And they got a great outing last night from their bullpen. But overall, they are just incredible on offense, and they have kind of a little bit of a mix of everything that you need, right, with contact, especially contact. But they have some power. And, you know, they can run the bases. So they're just, they deserve to win. They were the better team, no doubt about it.
Sal, I will tell you, and this is as a neutral fan, I'm just watching the games. When Dominguez hit the double, though, in the bottom of the ninth, right away I was like, oh, here we go. Like, and again, neutral wasn't like I was having bad feelings for the Blue Jays. It was more like, oh, here we go. Because it's a guy that it's first at bat of the postseason. This is what he does. And, you know, they're panning over to Judge, like, only a few more batters away. I was like, stop it. Don't stop it. Don't do this to me. I was having fun.
I was actually listening or thinking back on words that you said to us yesterday, Sal, of no team is dead between the two of them with how their bats work, that until the game is over, it's not over. And that started off in the ninth, and I'm like, oh, no. Sal's words are resonating with me right now. I'm afraid.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I was glad that Judge didn't make the last out, right? I mean, he's in – that it didn't come down to every highlight reel in America shows the last out all the time, right? And I'm just glad it wasn't him making the last out because it's Aaron Judge. And he had a phenomenal series, obviously. And here we go, another year of no, you know, World Series for Aaron Judge, and it sucks. But he was incredible. You know, he hit that, obviously, that iconic home run. But it kind of becomes a footnote, to be quite honest with you now, which really sucks, you know, for that reason. So, hey, you know, it's funny. You roll into – you get the final Yankees game last night and then the first Sabres game today, and – it just keeps moving, right?
I did think about, like, bringing you in and going, like, one season ends and another begins. But I was like, that might be a little mean. But, yeah, now we got this.
No, it's right. It's right. And, but it's okay. I mean, I'll be at the game tonight. You know, we're going. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see the Sabres tonight. I'm excited about, you know, a new hockey season. Everybody's 0-0. You just never know. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. So it stinks. It's okay. I do wonder, though, who I'll be rooting for as the playoffs go on. I have not made, like, a definitive choice. I do not, like, despise the Blue Jays or anything like that. It's a nice rivalry with the Yankees. It's like, you know, you hate them in the moment, you know, when you're playing them. But it's very, very hard for me not to like Vlad. I love Vlad. I've loved Vlad since he came into the league. Dude, the Bisons is really great. And I know that Bichette has a chance to come back later, you know. But I don't know, because I like the way the Brewers play, and I know it's the other league. And, yeah, the Mariners are fun to watch. I'll root for the Blue Jays over the Tigers. If it's Blue Jays Mariners, yeah, I'll probably still remember the Blue Jays, I guess, and then we'll see what happens in the World Series.
Just anybody but the Dodgers. That's the key for me. Anybody but the Dodgers.
Yeah, I would agree with this.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, for the Bills, it's been a little bit of a weird week with it being Monday Night Football. So the first practice and the first injury report is actually going to be today. We talked a little bit yesterday. The Ed Oliver Instagram post probably doesn't mean too much, but it could mean he might be in line for either being a full participant or just being on his way to, you know, playing on Monday. It could be a huge boon for the Bills. What else, though, are we looking for today?
Yeah, and I like seeing that from Ed. Like, I think Ed came into this year. We were told by Brandon Bean during the preseason, during a radio production meeting, how like much he really loved what he saw from Ed through training camp. Like, he said he had one of the best training camps he's had. And then he carried it over into week one, right, against the Ravens. He was great in that game, but he was great. And he was very disappointed last week when we talked to him, like, just about the injury and not being able to kind of build on week one and just kind of having that setback. So I just think mentality-wise, I'm glad that Ed is ready to rock and roll and wants to get back after it. And he said he wants to be dominant again like he was week one when he gets back out there. I do think it means that he's probably trending in a very good direction to playing. It seemed like he was close last week. We'll hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later today. We'll find out more about Matt Milano. Feels like he's not going to play this week. He was termed week to week. You have one game. It's a non-conference game. Then you have a bye week. So you're probably looking at that. Plus, they did re-sign Vaylon Spector to the practice squad yesterday. That's probably an indication, linebacker, they're a little thin. I think Dorian Williams is the guy there, though, you're looking more at. You know, what's the situation with Dorian Williams? Is he going to be available this week or not? That's probably the big one we're looking at right now.
Yeah, Sal, when it comes to how the linebacker core is looking and the health of it right now, I am excited, though, to see a little bit more of Shaq Thompson. He's become a sneaky addition with this Bills team through the first five games.
Yeah, me too. I think he's really been a pleasant addition, a pleasant surprise in a lot of ways. Maybe some people thought, hey, he's going to come in and have this role. When he was signed, I thought, depth guy for preseason and training camp, see what he's got, good veteran to have in the room, probably not going to make the team. And then as training camp and preseason went on, guys, I really was like, wow, wait a minute. Like, they're going to have a role for him, I think. And, I had him on the 53, on my projected 53, just from what I saw during camp and preseason, that he was going to make the team, and he did. And he does have a very clear role in this team, and now that role is becoming even more prominent and stepping up, especially with these injuries at linebacker. He's done a very good job. He's very versatile. He can play all three linebacker positions. He's not the same Shaq Thompson he was when he came in the league. He can play like a safety linebacker hybrid. They will put him there sometimes, but he's not the same kind of player. But, man, he still brings a lot to the party when he gets there. And every game it seems like he's making some sort of hit that gets everyone energized. And I think it's very, very beneficial to have him on the roster right now.
Sal, looking around at the rest of the linebackers too, I know we focused a lot on the secondary and even Matt Milano as well in the linebacker room, but another player that maybe has been kind of up and down this year, maybe not totally playing up to the contract extension he got, was Terrell Bernard. As much as, like Shaq Thompson, you mentioned it, like, they're really, it feels like it's been a hit every game where he's gotten going. It's not like Terrell Bernard's been completely silent. He's still got that eye for the ball. He still seems to be around every takeaway the Bills have. But what have you seen overall from his season through five games?
Yep. Hey, sorry, guys. I lost you for a moment there. Just asked me to record you talking.
Sal, we still got you?
Yep, you got me. Sorry about that. I went to a bad spot there for a second. Could you just repeat what you said there? And I
yeah.
saw the beginning of it.
Just Terrell Bernard. What have you seen overall through his first five games?
Yeah, I think that Terrell has had some ups and downs. He seems to make critical plays. Chris Brown called him Mr. Fourth Quarter when he came up with that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of clutch player, but I think you want a little more consistency from the through four quarters. And I think when your run defense is struggling, a lot of times you look right at the middle linebacker, and this is not a Ray Lewis throwback type of linebacker. I mean, I love Terrell Bernard and his game, right? No doubt about it. But Terrell Bernard's the kind of linebacker that, he can't just go plug A gaps by himself at his size. He's going to need some help up front. I think maybe, getting when this team gets Ed Oliver back, and hopefully that's this week, I think everybody's going to be better, and that includes Terrell Bernard behind him. That includes Joey Bosa. That includes Greg Rousseau, because he's going to help the interior of the defense have to be focused on a little bit up front. And I think that will allow Terrell Bernard to do a little bit more. So I think he's got to be a little more consistent from what we've seen for through four quarters, but he's still making a few, you know, big plays, and that's what you need from Terrell Bernard, and that's who he's always been.
It is frustrating. I mean, Sal, you mentioned it there too. Like, Ed Oliver coming back is probably going to help out Terrell Bernard, and it's been one of the more disheartening, frustrating, however you want to put it, things about the start of the season. Yes, they're 4-1, but we really just have not been able to see what this defense looks like at its full complement. Of course, with the guys with the suspensions, but even your first round pick is ultimately injured, and we have no idea how that's going to go the rest of the year after his LCL sprain, Max Harrison. It's just. We're seeing some of these trades starting to come in, Sal. We saw a corner-for-corner trade last night as well. I just wonder, you know, where the Bills are going to find a spot, if they even want to make a move with not having any time to see how this defense looks all put together.
Well, I know that it's going to sound like, well, that's not really the same thing, but let's remember they're getting two guys back from suspension, and it is right around, right before the trade deadline. So, yes, I know the team can say, well, or fans can say, you know, this is like a trade deadline acquisition. And it's not, but it kind of is, right? Because they are being added into a team. And the difference is they already know the system. They've been here. They've been working with the team. Talking about, obviously, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. I do think those guys will help a lot. I think especially Michael Hoyt. I don't know what Larry Ogunjobi, how much he can help necessarily, because they do rotate and have numbers there and decisions to make. I think Michael Hoyt is going to be a big part of this team going forward. I think they have a big plan for him. They had a plan for him when they signed him. He's going to be able to move around the defense, do a lot of different things. So that's number one. Number two is you do have a bye week coming up after this week. If there are any moves planned by Brandon Bean before the November 4th trade deadline, this might be the week you want to do it. Maybe you get a guy in that he can, you know, really kind of get into the building a little bit early. You're not sacrificing missing him for a game while he's got to be on the active roster. So we'll see. I do think, you know, the team will look to see if they can help themselves at secondary, if they feel they're not going to get any more contribution from Max Harrison or Dorian Strong, but we don't know that, right? That's a big question mark right now. Those are things they're going to have to look at numbers-wise.
So, obviously, the offense had a little bit of struggles in the New England game, particularly on the ground, but the thing that I'm getting more and more fascinated by through the first five games of the year, though, it's Dalton Kincaid. The guy is playing fantastic, and he's not even getting truly half of the snap share as of late. What has it been like, though, to watch Kincaid grow right now? And could we maybe be seeing more of him actually getting a higher snap percentage going forward?
Well, I don't know about the snap percentage. Mm-hmm. I think that they have a philosophy of how they want to use their tight ends, and it's working out for them. They run they run 13 personnel, and they run it a lot, and they do it well. And the running game has been very good now. It wasn't as good last week, but they're actually better against the Patriots than most teams were against the Patriots. But, yeah, I think you got to be careful with that, Derek. Like, it's great to see the ascension of Dalton Kincaid, but maybe part of the ascension is that he's not having all these snaps and he has to do all these other things, right? Like, part of it is you're keeping him fresh, and when you need him to do different things, he can be on the field. So I wouldn't rush to just say put Dalton Kincaid on, because the more he's on, the less maybe Jackson Hawes is off the field, right? And you could say Dawson Knox too, and that's fine. But I think the Bills have a good philosophy of how they're running it. I don't know if anybody's really eager to just start upping everyone's snap counts, because he's been really efficient. I think that part of the efficiency is the amount that he's on the field.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, last thing for me has nothing to do with the NFL. I don't know, though. Did you see the Bill Belichick reports from yesterday from Ollie Conley? His buyout of $1 million. They may be heading in that direction.
I did. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's not that surprised.
I know.
I was the first on this train years ago, and sorry, but I've been wrong a lot in my life. It's one thing I've been pretty damn right about, and that's that Bill Belichick is not the greatest coach ever, and he had Tom Brady with him, and yes, he's the most accomplished coach ever, and there is a difference between that. And when he got the job at North Carolina, my first thought was, this is not going to go well. Like, he is not suited for the college game, and he's going to want all this control and do all this stuff and think he can run it like a pro program, and he can't do that. And now look where they are. It's an embarrassment right now what's going on at UNC, that they have to put out a joint statement between the AD and Bill Belichick that they're on the same page, and they're clearly not. I mean, allegedly he's getting like investigated by the school itself for recruiting violations. Mm-hmm. And you know what that means, right? They're looking for a reason to not give him his buyout.
And Sal, that's the funny thing. It's a $1 million buyout. That is one of the cheapest buyouts in college sports. Deion Sanders is 33.6. Steve Sarkisian at Texas is $60 million.
You know what? Who's the Mike Norvell? No, it's not Mike Norvell. DeBoer.
$60 million. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was over $70 million when the season started. It might be 60 something now. It's crazy, right? Like, I agree. I said it years ago when you know they were still winning. That he is a great, great defensive mind. He's a great football mind. But his success was largely and mostly due to having Tom Brady. Now, I will tell you, I do think Tom Brady needed Bill Belichick. I think they were great for each other. But Brady went on, he still won, but he probably doesn't become the person he is without, and the quarterback he is without Bill Belichick. And I think Brady would tell you that. But this is not a surprise to me. And when he got the job at North Carolina, my first thought was, this is going to end poorly. And I kept saying, now, granted, there's no guarantee this is going to happen still, and it might still backfire because Syracuse's quarterback is out, and they're not that good right now. But I just kept thinking, I cannot wait to see Fran Brown beat Bill Belichick. Like, that would be amazing. And I still think it could happen even with Syracuse's situation.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's one of those things. Don't look at their record. North Carolina's 2-3. Their two wins are against FCS opponents. Their three losses against FBS opponents, none of them close. I mean, they are just getting run over by anyone that has even similar standards of athletes to them. But it's going to be something to keep an eye on over the next few weeks. Doesn't seem like it's going to happen immediately, but it does seem to be trending in that direction.
I mean, they play, Syracuse and UNC play Halloween night at the Dome. Okay? And I don't know by then if Bill Belichick's even going to be the coach of the Tar Heels.
Yeah, honestly. It's going to be something to keep an eye on. Sal, though, before we let you go, schedule for today, you did mention Sean McDermott's going to speak probably here pretty soon with the media.
Yeah, he'll be talking a little before noon, and we'll get an update on injured players' participation today. And then the injury designations for the game won't come out until Saturday this week, guys, so we won't have that like we normally do on a Friday. It'll be Saturday this week.
All right, sounds good. Sal, we'll let you get ready for practice then, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, Sal, thank you.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. We'll also be talking with Paul Hamilton coming up in about 15 minutes at 11 o'clock. Get ready for tonight's game. Let CRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest does end January 4th of 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts on tonight's opener for the Sabres. You want to talk Bill Belichick? I'm happy to do that. I think it's one of the craziest things I've seen in sports in a long time. It's embarrassing on all fronts for everybody. Or you want to talk Bills? Love to hear your thoughts as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.